If you don't know Louis Anderson from Louis C.K., Charlie Chaplin from Tina Fey, Don Rickles from Nichols and May, if you feel confused and you don't know who to ask, I've got your new favorite podcast. 'Cause they're nerds, nerds about comedy. Justin and Dan, they are uncommonly knowledgeable about S&M. Kids in the Hall and Saved by the Bell. They're nerds, nerds about funny stuff. Stand up and sketch, they just can't get enough. Tell all your friends, go tell your mama she should drop everything. Listen to the Comedy Nerds.
Well, hello.
And welcome to 2012.
The year it all ends.
Yep.
The Mayans have prophesized. I don't know what that voice is, but I like it. The Mayans have prophesized that this will be the last year of our
Yeah, but the Mayans didn't know that they were going to have their last year.
That's true. I would buy the Mayan calendar thing if around the year like 1200 or something, it just said there was a big circle that said we all get smallpox here and die. And then yeah. I go, okay, all right, now I right. see, now I buy it. By the way, I may be hundreds of years, I believe I'm hundreds of years off with that date, but whatever, you know what I'm trying to say, America. Get off my back.
We're not the history nerds.
Exactly.
We're not the Mayan nerds.
Oh, what if we were, though? Wouldn't that be fun? No, it wouldn't, because history sucks. Okay, welcome to the year 2010. Welcome to the Comedy Nerds. I'm Dan.
2012.
What did I say?
You said 2010.
Whatever. Oh, I was a few years off with that. Get off my back. I'm still drunk from Christmas. You kids, get out of here. Go play in the other room. Welcome to 2012. Welcome to the Comedy Nerds. I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Jeff Diodato.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. This week we're going to talk about the future of comedy. And the future of comedy.
Since we're in the future.
Yeah, and the future of comedy is that we'll all die. By the way, speaking of that, and this is a total random thought, but remember when we were all like, I can't wait for the year 2000 to come.
Right.
That was 12 years ago.
Yeah.
12 years ago.
Remember in like 1998 when we thought, what's Conan going to do when we get to the year 2000?
Yeah.
That was 12
years ago. That was 12 years ago.
Yeah. That was 14 years ago in 98 when we were thinking about it.
Yeah. Now, on one hand, you're like...
We are 100.
Yeah, we're really old. But on one hand, you're like, man, that was so long ago. But on the other hand, you're like, we are kind of in the future.
Yeah.
Like, because everyone has a little device in their pants pocket that can tell them anything in the world they would ever want to know at any time.
Right.
So,
yeah, with my iPhone, I can take a picture of something, and then it says, oh, that thing that you're taking a picture of, that's this thing.
Yeah, and here's 12 links to it, and I've tagged the thing for you. I have this fantasy of just going back in time to, like, the Old West, and then just showing them my iPod Touch, and just blowing their fucking minds, and then just getting back in my time machine and leaving. And that's it. I'd literally be there for 10 seconds. I'd be like, look at this! Okay, goodbye! Because they couldn't even cut, like, they don't have electricity.
Right.
So they couldn't even, like, you need, like, 15 jumps to even understand what I'm showing you right now. Like, they may just die from surprise. Like, they may just keel over.
Yeah.
Which would be awesome. And then I would get back here, and, like, the Nazis would have won or something.
See, the thing I was thinking about, though, was that, like, if somebody had dropped you off.
Yeah.
And then just left you with an iPod Touch, then you'd be really awesome for, like, a week.
Yeah.
And then you'd just be a douche with, like, a metal thing.
Right.
Because it would still be impressive. But
right.
As soon as you ran out of power, you'd just be an idiot.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't figure out how to make a USB connector that was then plugged into a socket that wasn't invented for hundreds of years.
Yeah. And then I also think, like, what if I had a cell phone? And like, oh, wait, because they don't have satellites.
Right.
So actually, that would do nothing. That would do nothing. I could play Dig Dug. I could show everyone Dig Dug. But I couldn't make a phone call. Anyway, welcome to the future. Thank you for tuning in.
And I'm sad to say that the future starts on a down note.
Oh.
Russell Brand and Katy Perry.
Okay, you guys.
If they can't make it work, it doesn't really mean much.
Yeah, it means nothing.
But
weird.
Here's what's been crazy about that news story to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because in reality, you know, not a big deal.
People get divorced
all the time. But the way the story was essentially broken was that Russell Brand wanted a family.
Mm.
And Katy Perry was like, I don't know. Russell Brand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really? Is he so different from his persona that's always happening?
Yeah.
That, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't seem like, I want the picket fence.
I
want
to settle down.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if you're Katy Perry, you're like, fuck you, asshole.
Yeah.
No. I just had his same number one singles as Michael Jackson. I'm releasing another goddamn album before I pop a kid out.
Right. Kids, remember when kids are hot, though? Remember when everybody was having a kid?
Right, but I mean, you can't be a teenage dream. And
I guess that's true. Yeah. Well, you could be a teen. You could go on Teenage Pregnancy or whatever that show is called.
That's true.
And then you'd be like, I have a teenage pregnancy dream. And then whatever.
And Sinead O'Connor got divorced, too.
Yes.
You guys all remember angry Sinead O'Connor.
Sure.
And her explanation for the divorce was...
Was it something crazy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no. It's crazy in the context of what ultimately ended up happening. She said that there were people in his family that were against her from the beginning, mm-hmm. and that they were putting undue pressure on him, and she didn't want him to deal with that pressure.
Okay.
That was part of the story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how she explained the reason they were getting separated. On a side note, he was also a little perturbed that on their wedding night, she got really focused on... going to buy marijuana. And she really wanted to buy marijuana. Okay. And then when she finally found a dealer after traveling around all night on their wedding night, the person gave her marijuana and a little bit of coke.
Okay.
Which, you know, the fact that he's a drug counselor makes that awkward.
I see what you're saying.
So I don't know that you would really count the whole, like, his family's weird. I think it's the... You married a drug counselor and then got high on your wedding night.
Yeah, and then you're weirdly obsessed with getting drugs. I mean, I think he has grounds to divorce just because he'd be like, she doesn't have an H in her name. Why?
Right.
That's not how you pronounce whatever this name is. And how can you be Sinead without an H in your name? That doesn't make any sense.
And I just saw the ripping up the Pope picture, and I was like, that is preachy.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. I didn't realize that she had done that. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the to go back to Russell Brand, like the other thing is like he's a really big like music guy, I think. So like, how did that go when she was like, "Hey Russell, I want to play you my new, like the demo for my new song," and he was like, "Oh, yeah, this is great. This is some good stuff you're putting out." Uh-huh.
She has
sure.
Five number ones from her album, almost as many number ones as Michael Jackson had.
You're
right.
Saying
she had an equal number of number ones as Michael Jackson had.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they're all terrible, though. Like the
songs.
The songs are, yeah, I know. They're terrible pop songs. I'm not saying, look, I'm all for the kids enjoying the stuff. I'm just saying, like, you know.
I disagree.
Okay, whatever.
She had fireworks coming out of her boobs, dude.
Yeah.
I've seen the video.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, that part I liked.
Yeah, it's artistic.
Sure. But.
The fireworks represent.
Right.
Life.
Yeah.
Life comes out of boobs.
Uh-huh.
That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a mother feeding the universe.
Right.
With her firework boobs.
Mm. I have another thing to say.
What?
She's got to slow down. Look, I understand she had fun on Friday night, but there are warrants out for her arrest.
Yeah, that's
that
not...
That is not fun.
Yeah.
That's not a good time. You're going to go out again next Friday night?
Yeah.
When there's warrants out for your arrest?
Yeah, that's the lifestyle, dude.
Oh, man.
That is.
I think we had a menage a trois. You think you did? You didn't want to take maybe at least write yourself a note to remind yourself? Katie?
Would you do that?
If I had a menage a trois, I'd fucking remember. I don't care how black
I'm
or drunk
I'm not saying
I
you'd
am.
Remember it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whether you remember it. I'm saying if after you had the menage a trois, would you roll over, pull out a post-it pad and go, had a menage a trois?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
And I would stick it on my mirror because that's where I put everything important.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
How do you remember things?
I mean, I just file them away in the brain.
Oh, yeah. See. No, that doesn't work for me. I'm like that memento guy, except I'm afraid of needles, so I don't get tattoos. What else is in the news?
This is a little side note, but it's looking like, after all this political stuff, that Rick Santorum may be a legitimate candidate. And the reason that is a comedy news story is because his name means
It means. After, named after, we could say it. It's the the byproduct of anal sex is
right of lube and fecal matter.
Yeah,
created after anal sex.
Sure.
Now
that was named for him.
That was named for him. No,
not
yeah,
a weird
that,
coincidence.
Right. No, that if you look back in time, it's not like that's what it. It's not like a cobbler.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
It's not like if your last name's Smith that you know.
Yeah.
It was named for him. And it's still, despite what Jon Stewart said on The Daily Show yesterday, it is still the number one result when you put in Centaur.
Oh, is it? Because yeah. I did it, and the number one result was the Iowa primary results, and
yeah.
then number two was that. Although I think different people get different results
mm-hmm.
nowadays. I think if you're signed, because you're signed into Google,
yeah.
I think different people get different results.
Okay.
So, but yeah, for me, the number one was Iowa, whatever. And then number two was Dan Savage's site with the definition. But
I would just like to see Dan Savage give nicknames to alt Republicans. That way, no matter who wins,
right,
we win.
I mean, he did this because
Centaur's total douche.
Well, he said that. Gay sex was like having sex with a dog, that there was no difference between the two.
Yeah.
So that got him perturbed a little bit. I mean, I don't like Mitt Romney, but I don't think he deserves to have a horrible his name turned into something.
We'll see.
Terrible. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. He's not going to be president anyway. I don't think so. I don't know. I could be wrong.
But okay.
I will say this, though, and I'm stealing a line from someone else. But speaking of all the political stuff, because thank God that's over, because, man, that was annoying, that run-up. But, you know, everyone's all focused on the Iowa primaries,
mm-hmm.
Or caucus, or whatever the hell it's called. And, you know, and those are really important, obviously. I mean, just ask President Huckabee. So, who won the Iowa caucus in 2008. So, what I'm trying to say is we have a long way to go. And, you know, also, don't forget Clinton. Hillary Clinton also said it sewed up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that didn't
What
happen.
Was that other guy that ran Buddy something?
Buddy Rich? Oh, he's... What a trumpet player.
No there's a... Like, Buddy...
Ebsen.
No. But Buddy something. I forget. Look it up.
Okay.
He's like... He's the guy who came in dead last in the Iowa caucus.
Wait, this time?
Yeah.
Wait, who's a Buddy?
Yeah, I don't know why he... It's Buddy something. He's not... He hasn't been part of any of the debates.
Oh.
He's like a... additional dude who was just I think on in Iowa.
Oh, okay.
But he was awesome.
Oh.
Because he got crushed, and he was just sending
sure.
out tweets that were just like super hilarious the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, have just enough votes in Iowa caucus to start a bowling league.
I don't know why I didn't hear anything about this.
Beating wizard people by only by only 5 votes.
Nice.
If you go back and look up the name and look it up, it's probably one of the best political tweeting
right.
of a person who's actually involved in the politics
right.
that I've ever seen.
This is total non sequitur.
Yeah.
But what you said reminded me of something, which is this. We haven't been behind these mics for a little while.
Right.
I want to say... I was wrong about Jimmy Fallon, and I'm putting it out there now. And
oh, by the
I can't
SNL?
Believe I'm saying these words. Best SNL all year.
Yeah,
his
I agree.
Show has been great.
Yeah.
I don't watch it, although I sometimes watch clips and occasionally I catch it. But and it's not a personal. I'm a Daily Show Conan guy, and I'm too old now to. I love Conan, and I always will.
Mm.
So I watch that. And Fallon's for the young kids. I get it. That's fine. But that was great, and that episode of SNL was great.
Yeah.
And the only negative that I could say to it where I was like, why can't it be like this every week?
Mm.
Because it was awesome. It
right.
was funny. It was fun. I mean, I think it certainly helps to have a guest who certainly can pull it off.
Yeah.
He only was on the show for 10 years or whatever. So obviously he knows what to do and can just be the star of a sketch and be great. But every sketch was funny. Every
yeah.
sketch was good. And even the, you
the
know.
Weekend update, anchor off.
Oh, that
joke
was
off.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Which I didn't even see coming. I mean, my own, I'm dumb for not even realizing that they would have Tina Fey back. Like,
yeah.
In retrospect, it's obvious. But at the time, I was like, holy shit, this is happening. But yeah, I mean, I even loved, like, when he was like, the list of classic sketches. He's like, I ruined all those sketches by laughing. I was like, great. He can make a joke about himself.
Yeah.
It's all forgiven. It really is all forgiven. He's great. And people said he was great, and I was like, nope. Arms folded, head shaking. You guys are dumb. And I was wrong. It was really funny. And I was super excited, too, because I was like, oh, great. One great episode of SNL can turn it all around. Then I'm like, oh, I want to see more great SNL. Like, I just, you know what I mean? I've almost like, well, I was going to make a bad joke. I won't. But it's like, you're just like, you know, they just keep, every week is like mediocre. And then it all takes is one great episode to be like, I'm back on board.
What I think happened, and, you know, I'm not saying that they don't work hard every week. Obviously, they work hard every week. There's no question that they work hard every week.
I understand. First, let me just say, I understand that show is impossible.
Right.
Like, what you're doing is dumb and crazy and impossible.
But what I think it benefited from was the fact that Jimmy Fallon was excited to come back. Mm. They were excited to have him back.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Timberlake's on, they up their game.
Yeah.
When Alec Baldwin's on, they up their game a little bit.
Well, and I think it helps that the guests are, when they're really involved with the show.
Right.
I think that helps immensely.
Yeah. You know? That, I mean, and that's what, like,
Jon Hamm.
Yeah. When you look at, like, The Daily Show.
Yeah.
If you look at guests on The Daily Show pre-September 11th, post-September 11th, it's a totally different show.
Yeah.
They stopped bringing on the Flavor of the Month people. They stopped bringing on, you know, people that were going to get them ratings in exchange for people that were going to be generally good interviews, and hope that those things would get them ratings, because who's interviewing the, you know, this random dude?
Right.
I think if SNL focused more on getting hosts that they wanted and less on getting hosts that were in a movie,
right.
The show would be better in general.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we could spend, we've been over it many times before, right, what they should do.
But I mean, anytime that we've been excited about a host, they've generally been better episodes. And maybe that's because we're predisposed to liking those people, but I think it's also because if we're excited, they're excited.
But this still was, even if you take like the Jon Hamm, Justin Timberlake, Alec Baldwin episodes
of
the last
still
few years, it was great. It really was great. Even the you know, the let's bring back old characters stuff.
Mm.
Like that was like, that's another great example of, they gave it a half a second of thought, which was, instead of just redoing that, the opening sketch, which is the two Boston kids.
Yeah.
Instead of just redoing it, now they're older.
Right.
And they are heroes to the younger generation. You know what I mean? Like, then it was like, okay, now there's a reason to do this. Okay. You didn't just write one more sketch like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, obviously it all had the same formula and the same jokes or whatever, but it was still like, oh, okay. Like, there's actually a reason for this to exist, because it's a continuation, not just a repeat.
I wish they had given a little bit more time to the In the Mirror sketch.
Yes.
Because that was such a classic sketch.
Right.
And they didn't really, you were looking for them to play the same game, and I don't know that they really played the same game. Because you can't do a Fallon impression. A Fallon impression is
right.
Not a thing, really. But
I also did love that he was like, let's do Seinfeld. And like, and somebody was like, well, Seinfeld, let's move on. Like, he obviously can't do a Seinfeld impression.
Yeah.
Like, that was really funny. Like, all right, it was all good. We can move on. But
yeah.
It was all good.
So another place we're going to see a bunch of comedians coming up is the new season of The Apprentice. The Apprentice went out and got the crankiest comedians they could find.
Hit me with the list.
Adam Carolla.
Oh, boy.
Lisa Lampanelli.
Yeah, whatever.
And Penn Jillette will all be on this season of The Apprentice.
Here's the weird thing. Adam Carolla and Penn Jillette were on the same episode of Dancing with the Stars as well.
So
I don't know if those two are joined at the hip or what's going on there. But they seem like an unlikely pair.
Yeah, they seem like they shouldn't be doing either of those things.
Well,
because Adam Carolla hates everything.
Yeah.
And Penn Jillette hates everything.
Well, Penn Jillette, it makes more sense for Penn Jillette. I think at the heart, he's a Vegas showbiz, like, you know, I'll do anything for a laugh kind of guy or whatever.
He's always seemed that he felt like he was a little too cool for the room.
Yeah, but then he did Dancing with the Stars.
Right. Like, that's why I was shocked that he did that.
Yeah. he just feels a little bit more of like, you know, those Vegas guys seem like they have a little less shame than the rest of us.
Yeah.
But
I just want to, because the part of the rest of the group of the lineup of people.
Yeah.
Lou Ferrigno.
Sure.
Debbie Gibson.
Who doesn't want to see that?
Victoria Gotti.
Victoria Gotti. Okay.
Tia Carrera.
Yeah. Oh, Tia Carrera.
Cheryl Teagues.
So hot. Back in the day.
Clay Aiken.
Sure.
I don't know who that is. Yeah, and Dee Snider.
There was a couple of people I didn't know who they were.
George Takei. I know who George Takei was. So I just couldn't read that handwriting. I just want to see Adam Carolla and Lou Ferrigno just scream at each other and see what happens. Because every comedian is really good at talking big.
Yeah.
But once Lou Ferrigno tells you to shut up,
into the room.
You shut up.
Yeah.
He's the Hulk.
Yeah. And you're like.
And he still looks like it.
Yeah.
He is still giant.
Hey, he's crazy. He's crazy big. With no CGI. But that's gotta be rough though, because you're like, good job losing to Schwarzenegger and pumping iron. And he's like, that was 35 years ago. Can you please?
He was roiding it up.
Can you please let this go? Adam Carolla, look, it is what it is, but it's a little annoying when a guy like rails against like
everything.
But it's like, hey, it's what's wrong with America. And then it's like, well, here's what's wrong with America. The Apprentice.
Yeah.
And Dancing with the Stars. Two shows that you've been on. So right. It's a little hypocritical to talk about everything that's wrong with America and then go on the shows that are what's wrong with America, is what I'm trying to say. But, you know.
Maybe he should come on the podcast. Talk about
it. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. We're waiting for you, Adam Carolla.
I mean, I do give him credit as someone, and this is what we're going to talk about. I'm going to segue, Dustin, so hold on.
Okay. Ahead.
We're going to be talking about the history, the future of comedy and the new ways of distributing comedy. And I have to give credit that he jumped onto the podcasting bandwagon and is riding it into the sunset, because he turned what was initially a like 30-minute podcast in his bedroom into like 12 shows, and B, like, you know, now he basically does a 2-hour radio show every morning and puts it out.
Yeah, he cheated a little bit, but.
Well, we'll get into it. Yeah. We'll talk about it a little bit. So when we come back, when we come back, we'll talk about Louis C.K. put out his digital special.
And made a gajillion dollars from it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, you know, various podcasting stuff a little bit, and then what else may be coming down the pipe for comedians and ways of getting their material out there without having to go through the various networks and companies and whatever. So when we come back, talk about that.
All right.
Do you have a question or topic you would like to hear the Comedy Nerds discuss? Send us an email to info@thecomedynerds.com or stop by the site and click Contact Us at the top of the page. We look forward to hearing from you at thecomedynerds.com.
All right, and we're back on the Comedy Nerds, and we're talking about the future of comedy, not what's going to be funny in the future, because we all know robot farts, but... How are we going to distribute those robot farts? And Dustin, tell us a little about Mr. Louis C.K.
Yeah, Louis C.K. just, you know, he was like, well, I'm not going to do my next special. How am I going to get it out there? And he decided, you know what? Fuck HBO. Fuck Showtime. Yeah. Fuck FX.
That's
fuck
what I say every day.
Epics, where his other thing was on.
Sure.
He's just going to do it himself.
Right.
And it wasn't cheap. He was taking a risk. Yeah. He dropped about $300,000 putting this show together. Which seemed odd because I saw part of it and didn't really seem like a $300,000 show. But not the point.
Yeah.
Dropped $300,000, put up this show, took the risk, charging $5. And he made, as of I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, like $1 million from the thing.
Yes.
$1 million profit.
Yes.
Not $1 million, but $1 million profit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of which he said he was going to give to charity, because even he was like, that's crazy. That's not a thing.
Yeah.
That's what?
Yeah.
And that's what surprised me, because you never really get a sense of like how much a person makes, and that thing. And he specifically said, he's like, I've never had $1 million all at one time. Yeah. I don't know what to do with it. I need to give some of it away. And I always figured he had it, you know. I just figured he had $1 million. I always thought he was sitting on,
well,
on some cash.
$1 million is a lot. I mean, because you can make $500,000 a year and live very comfortably. you can be very, very happy.
But I mean, me and sound engineer have like, what, 700,000 right now?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So,
yeah.
You know, just a little bit more. If absolutely. Anybody, if people want to donate on the website to get us up to a million, that would really be
sure,
great.
Sure. But, okay. So the first question is like, is this what's coming and is this what people are going to be doing in the future?
Yeah.
I'm going to say the answer is yes. I believe that the end of 2011 and 2012 are going to be the day that there or the time and we're going to look back at the time that this broke.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gets easier every day to do this. And the question is, could anyone have done this? And the answer is yes, sort of. But the real answer is no. That doesn't mean in the future they can't. But here's the thing.
Okay.
Because of Louis C.K.'s show, Louis on FX, FX just gives him $150,000 and says, make an episode of your show. And he pays for everything. Now, that was the thing. He had the cameras. He had the crew in place to do it.
Right.
That he could just say, you know what I mean? Like, to go out and get a production crew is a huge pain in the ass. But he had it. He has his own cameras. He has his own crew that does the show.
Right.
They're just going to shoot this. Then he sets it all up. And what happened was, I heard him do an interview. People paid money to get in to see his show.
Mm-hmm.
So when it was all over, he was at zero. Because he made all the money that it cost to do the special from the tickets.
Right.
So he was already basically had broken even. So then everything he then made from the special was profit.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
so why not?
Exactly. And the thing is that he made $1 million, okay?
Yeah.
People don't make $1 million doing a stand-up special. So this is what it takes, is that everyone to go, wait a minute, that guy made $1 million. Now I want to do that.
Right, and that's part of the reason I think that it is going to be very difficult to replicate that. Because I think the novelty of it is part of what made it
right.
really work. Because, I mean, when it comes down to it, like, downloading his comedy album for $5 directly from his website is not substantially different than downloading anybody else's comedy album from iTunes
right.
for a couple more dollars.
Right.
You know? And the artist is getting that $5 for the $10 that I spent on his album.
Yes.
So it's not different. It's just that he's well known and it was novel and it was interesting and he managed, like, people jumped on board because it was like, yeah, fuck the man.
Yes.
You know, I'm glad that you went off and you did your own artistic thing. How much is that really gonna hold up? If I went out and shot my own special.
Right. No.
And released it, people would be like,
I agree with
fucking
you.
Great, asshole. I'm not buying it.
No, that's fine. Yeah, no, I'm not talking about your average person. I'm talking about your Chris Rocks, your Jerry Seinfelds, your whatever. Your big guys. Because what's going to happen is, no one's going to do it like Louis C.K. Louis C.K. is in a class by himself. Mm-hmm. Louis C.K. is the person you thought you were going to be when you were 13.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to do it all myself, and then I'm going to make $1 million, and then I'll give it all away to charity because fuck everybody. And, of course, that's not what happens. Only right. Louis C.K. does that. But now let's take Chris Rock, right? I'm not saying he's going to do this. But what he could do is say HBO, thanks but no thanks. I'm going to hire Louis' crew. I'm going to make my special. And instead of putting it on my own website, I'm going to sell it directly to iTunes. And so, yes, now there's still a corporation involved. Yes, someone is still taking a piece of that pie. But because the other thing about Louis C.K. is that he owns this special.
Yeah.
Nobody has anything else to do with it. It doesn't say HBO on the front of it. There's no executive. Nobody's going to, the only person who has anything to do with this is him. And so he can do right. whatever he wants with it at any time. Okay. Because that's the other thing, too, that people understand is like when you do something for a network, they either wholly or partially own that.
Yeah.
So you can't just say, okay, now I'm just going to release my special on DVD myself. No, you can't do that. But Louis C.K. can if he wants to. He can put out a special Laserdisc version of it if he felt like it for crazy collectors.
Right.
You know, Laserdisc being the video version of vinyl, I assume, right? I assume they put out special stuff on Laserdisc.
Yeah, no, they
so
definitely
that
hip, do.
So that hipsters can watch it in the most
in their tight pants.
In the most inconvenient way possible. But yeah, that's what I mean. That people are, I mean, people look at the Louis deal on FX and go, that's what I want. No one else can do that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Louis is the only one who can do that because he was a filmmaker. He knows how to make movies. He knew.
Right. He had the benefit of having the skill that other people don't.
He just was the perfect storm. He was a great writer. You know, he was a guy at his peak, too. Because don't forget, he's been around forever.
Right.
Given him this show 10 years ago, it wouldn't be the show that it is now.
Mm-hmm.
He was just at his peak. He's a writer and he's a filmmaker. Like I said, I heard an interview where he was talking about the Red camera. He was going into stuff that, like, I was like, I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
He was going into, like, technical specs. So he knows what he's doing. Could anyone else do that? No. But could Chris Rock do a modified version of that? Yes. Could Chris Rock hire a crew that knows what to do? Yes. So that means Chris Rock gets a little less money, maybe. And instead of $150,000 an episode, maybe he wants $300,000 an episode. Mm. So that when he parses out money, he still has a lot of money left over. But I think this is where it's going. And I know you're going to rebut me, and that's fine. That's what we do here. I love it. But I do feel like we're moving in this direction. And also, it's going to seem like a total non sequitur, but stick with me for a second. In the last month, I've gotten really into Spotify. Mm-hmm. And that's a completely different distribution platform. And artists do make money. They're arguing they don't make enough, but whatever. They'll get that figured out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's awesome to just type in a thing, type in the name of a song, and there it is. And you just hit play. And I don't own that song. It's not on my hard drive. I don't have it, but I can listen to it as many times as I want. And I feel like that's where we're heading.
Okay.
That at some point, just everything will exist and you don't need to own anything because it's all just sitting there waiting for you.
I think that type of model, I think what Louis C.K. is doing, and I know you're saying that only Louis C.K. could do it right now.
Yes.
But people are going to evolve towards it. And what I think that is, comedy in general, like being a comedian is like being a person who plays, like being an initial starting comedian.
Right.
Is like being a person who plays high school basketball. You know, your goal is to be in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
You probably won't be.
Yeah.
At some point, somebody's going to say, you're good, but become an accountant.
You're not that good.
Right. So already it's a bitch.
Right.
My fear is that everybody's like, well, there's all these new distribution models and there's YouTube and there's podcasts and there's all this stuff. Are all those things good?
Yeah.
Yes. Are all those things that people should be doing to practice their craft? Yes. But feeling as though that you can get your name out there and you can get that same distribution and all that stuff from doing those things is like becoming, is like being in the super NBA. You know, it's like, it because they're, all those models are there for a reason. You know, all the ways that things are happening right now are there for a reason. Louis C.K. can pull that off. Adam Carolla can pull off the Adam Carolla podcast.
Absolutely.
Because the reason I said earlier Adam Carolla cheated was because he had a gigantically successful radio show.
Oh, yeah.
The radio show stopped, and 2 weeks later, or whatever it was, maybe a month, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the podcast.
Right.
All those listeners were saying, hey, I wonder what this guy's going to do. If Adam Carolla just started doing the podcast, it wouldn't have been as successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like stuff like the Nerdist podcast, you know, that was an organic grown, he didn't have, you know, whatever, but it's not an Adam Carolla podcast. He's not, you know, he's not pulling in those, that, you know, the same insanity that was happening. And everybody's like, oh, it's the first one that downloaded a million episodes. No shit, because people he had more than a million listeners. He didn't convert the bulk of his listeners.
Yes.
So for your average, like, it is definitely something that very, 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 very established comedians are discovering they can do, but they're really, for the most part, discovering they can do it because the money isn't as important. You know what I mean?
No, I totally understand. Let me just say this, though. You're 100% right about Adam Carolla. Yes, the reason why he was able to do that was because he was Adam Carolla. But 10 years ago, if he was fired from his radio show, he would have had to wait around for another radio station to pick him up.
And he would
up.
Have gotten it sooner. The only reason Adam Carolla isn't on a different radio station is because he managed to make this thing work.
No, I understand that. What I'm saying is now he's not on radio. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because when he did his radio show, and he'll bitch about it nonstop, he had 10 people telling him what to do. And now he has no one telling him what to do. Is that good or bad? I don't know. Because, yes, things do get self-indulgent. Maybe sometimes people are telling you not to do things because they're a bad idea. But what I'm saying, though, is that this starts the floodgate. This because someone like an Adam Carolla who's in the old media suddenly goes, I don't need this anymore. And so once now there's some radio station out there that doesn't have the Adam Carolla show, the incredibly popular Adam Carolla show.
Right, but you can't get to be a Louis C.K. or an Adam Carolla
right.
directly.
But those old – I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow, but I'm saying those old ways are going away. Someday radio and TV is not going to be what it is now.
But,
and the only ways to get stuff – because right now there's a radio station that does not have the incredibly popular Adam Carolla show. They have some other thing that isn't as popular because Adam Carolla has a podcast. You see what I'm saying? HBO doesn't get to get people to tune in to see the new Louis C.K. special because he's doing it by himself. Now, that is not to say that HBO is like, well, we're done. Shutter it up. It's all over. Like, it's going to happen very slowly and very gradually. But – you know, I mean, at one point in this country, radio was where it was at.
Right.
People didn't want to go to this newfangled TV thing because radio was safe and, you know.
Right.
And now radio was just Spanish, Spanish, you know, music and Rush Limbaugh. And that's all that's on radio.
And to back up your side of the argument for a moment, mm-hmm. as much as I hate doing this. part of the reason that TV needs to be TV the way that my argument for is the internet going to be as successful as TV in 15 years? I've always said, no, there's no fucking way that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And my argument has always been that you can't make, you know, 24.
Right.
As well. Like, you can't make as much money because you have that splintered audience.
Yes.
Because the cost of production is too freaking high. But with stand up and radio like that, you're pointing a camera at a dude. It is the basest of possible things.
Yes.
You know, like when I'll be honest with you, I mean, I haven't listened to the new Louis C.K. special personally, but when I saw that it was video, I was just like, maybe. Like, I just wanted the CD. Like, I just wanted to put it on my iPod and listen to it. Now, I know that I could download it and strip the audio off and do it that way. I just haven't done it yet. I'm going to do it. Don't yell at me.
Right.
But part of the defense of your argument is that comedians as a whole can look at it and go, well, if I'm just going to do spoken word, then the transition's quicker. Louis C.K. was able to do what he did because it was so cheap to do it.
Right.
Again, I don't know where he dropped $300,000.
I don't know if the 300, I'm assuming the $300,000 is also the infrastructure and the internet and the bandwidth and everything. I think so, because I don't know.
He makes
an entire TV show for half of that. So I don't know where he could spend all that money.
Right.
On. I'm assuming that all of that is, you know, and I'm sure that
right.
shit.
I'm just saying, because for work, I priced out a very similar thing, and it was like $185.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I I'm sure that it's everything, and that stuff, I'm sure, does add up fast. I'm speaking in giant general terms. I know that each case is specific, and yes, Adam Carolla is Adam Carolla. Kevin Smith has been very popular in podcasting because he's Kevin Smith. I get it.
Right.
But Kevin Smith is also not Martin Scorsese. He was a cult figure who took his cult figure status and turned it into something else. Something that's a lot easier than making movies that,
critics hate and your core audience shows up to. He also is a guy who has 15 podcasts at this point and apparently makes more money doing it than he ever did making movies. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, it's like every asshole with a Twitter is like, I'm going to be the next shit my dad says. No, you're not.
Right.
But you know, the other thing too is that the reason TV and movies are the way they are right now is honestly, I think, because it's the way it's always been. And what I mean is it doesn't have to be. In the 70s and 80s and 90s, you needed a crew to make a TV show.
Yeah.
You couldn't just do it by yourself. You know what I mean? You needed an infrastructure. You needed a backlot. You needed all this shit because of the way the technology was. You don't really need that anymore.
Right. Now you could roll out with like 5 or 6 guys. And
yeah, you really don't. Yeah. But they don't do it because, you know, Hollywood didn't go, oh, there's a new camera out there. Well, let's shut her up. It's all over. No, people have jobs and lives and families. And so they didn't immediately change everything. It's going to happen slowly and gradually. But yeah, I mean, again, you know, it's not going to be Louis C.K. again is on the bleeding edge. And it's somebody is going to do a modified version of that. And they're going to say, okay, I'll give up a little bit of control for a little extra money or whatever. But I mean, you know, at some point it's just like, you know, you don't need TV anymore. You really don't at this point. And a show like 24, even when they were making 24, which isn't that long ago, it's easier to do something like that now.
No, I'm not.
You could do, but I'm saying like every year that gets easier. And I know what you're saying, but there are shows that have amazing production values that are made super cheap. Now they're freaking web series that look better than shit that's on NBC, you know? Yeah. And you know, now those people get sucked up and they're given pilot deals that fail. but you know, sooner or later, a Louis C.K. of that ilk is going to come along. He says, no, I don't need that. I don't need to go to L.A. and make some shitty pilot that's going to fail. Or I don't need to be a writer on Jimmy Fallon. Not that wouldn't be an amazing job and be awesome. Mm. But I'm going to stay here and keep doing what I'm doing right here. And is he going to get 300 million people to watch? No. Will he get 1 million? Maybe. And if every one of those people pays $3 for the season of your show, you just made $3 million. That's a crazy amount of money. And you own it all. You know what I mean? So you can turn around and make special edition DVDs. I mean, we even saw the people who do the Guild, you know? They're out there, they're like, oh, I got a special edition DVD. So there's 500 people who are willing to spend $50 on your special edition DVD. Boom. Even more money. Right. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's whatever. It's not coming tomorrow. But I think all this stuff is just slowly and surely going to change. And people get more, you know, as they get more and more comfortable with it. My mom is on Facebook, finally, you know, and people are just going to get more and more comfortable with this stuff. And it's not going to seem as strange to them, you know. But, I just think people are going to look at someone like a Louis C.K. or Dom Carolla and say, I want that. Me too, me too, me too. And that's how
I mean, it has. I mean, you have, like, you know, Marc Maron went out and did it. Yeah. I mean, you know, like, there are plenty, like...
You know, Marc Maron, that's a great example, too. Like, yes, Marc Maron, we had heard of Marc Maron before.
Nobody else had.
I mean, people who were our age, but he literally, he disappeared, dude.
Yeah.
When I saw that podcast, I was like, oh, my God, whatever happened to that guy?
Yeah.
And he's back, baby. I mean, the Sklar brothers were another ones who was like, I love Department 2F or whatever it's called back in the day. As far as I was concerned, they may feel differently. As far as I'm concerned, they disappeared for 10 years.
They were doing cheap seats, weren't they?
Yeah, doing cheap seats. But even that had gone away for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, dude, they're back. And that's the other thing, too. Like, they don't make any money on that podcast. But how they make money is people now come to their shows.
Yeah.
To see them live. And they can come out and say Henderson and do the 2 minutes of bits from their show, and people applaud because everyone, they don't have to introduce themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to go to the Chuckle Hut in Des Moines and people just randomly show up. People are like, oh, I know these guys now because of their podcast and I'm going to go see them. You know, and that, I mean, that's a huge thing. Like, how else, back in the day, before all this podcast, how else did you find out about stand-up comedians?
True.
Through HBO.
We got to get booked in the Chuckle Hut. Have all our fans come out.
Yeah.
And ask us to talk about the news.
Good. Okay.
I don't know. That's what our fans are dying for.
Let's do it.
More comedy news at the Chuckle Hut, right?
Let us know if you guys want.
Don't we get a lot of letters of that from, about that sound engineer?
Sure.
She doesn't seem to care.
That was a very definitive yes. She was like, sure. It's the giant head nod is always the
right.
This is my sarcastic version of yes.
She doesn't
very making a giant nod
because she's behind the glass like that. I think a lot of times she gets. She can't always hear exactly what's going on.
Right.
You know.
Which is weird. As a sound engineer, you'd think she'd be listening to everything, but
right,
I
no.
guess not.
No. But there's a lot of stuff going on in that other room.
There is a lot going on over there.
So.
Anyway. But yeah, my point is that, you know, this is coming. It'll happen slowly. And look, I don't know what it's going to be. You know, people predicted the end of radio back in the day. They're like, well, TV's here. Who needs radio?
Yeah.
Radio is still around. It's not what it was, but it morphed into something weird and crazy, which was, as I said, I was half joking, but I'm not. If you, in New York, have you listened to the radio recently? Yeah. Put on the radio.
It's awful.
Put on shuffle, okay? Mm-hmm. There are 32 stations. 10 of them play Spanish music.
Yeah.
And that's, you know.
And 11 of them are religious.
Yeah. I hope this doesn't sound racist. I don't mean it to me. But the reason that is because there are a lot of Spanish people who don't have a lot of money. And so they listen to the radio. It's a cheap form of entertainment. Right. There you go right there. I don't need to listen to the radio because I have an internet radio receiver in my house. I don't hope that doesn't sound douchey or like I'm some rich person because I'm not. But I do. I spent $100 on an internet. And now my favorite radio station is a radio station in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. So I get up in the morning and I turn that on. And so I don't need to listen to over-the-air right. radio. I almost never do. Even in the car, I just put on my iPod. So,
But they didn't send the last... they didn't use the last like, telegraph until like 96.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So all I'm saying is that like...
Oh, I'm not saying any of this is going away.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that... But that's the thing. Like, I couldn't have foreseen that. If you had said... What's going to happen to radio in 1992? I would have said it's dying, it's over, goodbye, it won't exist. What I did not see coming was Spanish radio, and I did not see coming crazy right-wing people
yeah.
and all this stuff that is profitable on radio. You know, as these other things die, you know, that is profitable. And also, I don't know if you've, like, a lot of the radio stations now have this iHeartRadio thing, which was all the radio stations were like, we're screwed.
Yeah.
So they're like, we're boned. So they all got together and they're like, well, we're also online too. So you can listen to us online, and they promote that constantly.
My prediction, what's going to be big in the next couple of years is comedian baseball cards. I think that's where everybody is going to. Mm-hmm. It's just, there's a baseball card of Louis C.K. or Chris Rock, you know, or whatever. And you look at it, and you find out his stats.
Oh, my God, dude.
And maybe in a couple of years, there'll be some pogs.
Yeah. I know.
I think that's where we're going.
I know you're joking.
Yeah.
But back when I was a kid, and I was, like, super into comedy, I would have collected the shit.
I know, right?
Out of stand-up trading cards.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, I would have been like those kids with baseball cards.
Yeah, no, we would have been like, dude, I got 3 Jake Johansson. Like, you want to trade one?
I would have memorized the stats on the back. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would like, did you see this? You see the
I'll give you
60-second laugh in Des Moines. That's right. It's on the back of the card right here.
I'll trade you an Emo Phillips rookie card.
That would have been, oh, God. Now, like, in a perfect world. Like, in the world where I belonged, those would have been the top-selling trading cards.
Yeah.
Would have been the stand-up comedian.
Because, frankly, there was a period of time where, like, they'd make a trading card. There were E.T. I owned E.T. trading cards.
Yeah.
Why did that need trading cards?
You just open the pack, and you're like, oh, another Judy Tenuta. I have, like, 15 of these. I swear they make more of these than every other card. I have, like, 15 of these things.
Judy Tenuta was an E.T.?
No.
Oh, no.
The comedy trading cards.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. You jump back.
I was just thinking,
I was thinking, like, was Judy Tenuta in... Did I miss Judy Tenuta in E.T.?
You haven't seen that famous cutscene where out of nowhere a crazy woman comes out with an accordion and starts playing? And then gets hit in the face with a pie. Anyway.
That's our show.
I had a book where, do you remember you had the books where you filled up with the stickers?
Yeah.
Anyway, I had the Masters of the Universe movie sticker book. Filled up the whole thing. Spent hundreds of dollars getting all the stickers. Because you would. You would get like, there'd always be like two that like you couldn't get. So excited. Went to see the movie. Was like 7 years old. And I believe that was the first time I ever used the phrase, what is this piece of shit? Because my God, was that movie. Even then, I was like, this movie's god awful. And I was like, who is this girl in this movie? She's never going to amount to anything. Courtney Cox. Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening.
That guy has many faces.
That's why they call him that. But this, okay, here's the thing, though. I'm not going to rant here. They didn't use most of the characters because it was live action and they couldn't.
Right.
So they didn't have Manny faces or Mossman or Stinkor or all the good characters. They had freaking Franklin Jella as Skeletor.
Mm-hmm.
Why were they on Earth? It made no sense. Oh, what a terrible, terrible movie. I was such a He-Man fan, too. I was so excited. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back soon.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week. Thank you guys so much for listening. Enjoy the new year. If you have any questions for us, if you have any comments, anything that we talked about on the show that you agreed with, disagreed with, info@thecomedynerds.com. Join our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter, comedynerds.com. That's a place for your comedy nerds needs. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Yeah,
I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Biff DiDatto.
You have something else to say?
Be nice to people.
Yeah. Be nice.
That's all I'm saying.
Thank you.
If you're going to get one thing out of this episode, it's be nice to people.
And also, you got a year left. So live your life. Be nice to people. And, you know, when it all ends, we'll all go to Mayan heaven together.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
Talk to you.
Bye. You've been listening to The Comedy Nerds. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at info@thecomedynerds.com. Check out our website at thecomedynerds.com where you can comment on any past episodes. And if you enjoyed this show, please write a review in iTunes and tell the world how awesome we are. For Dustin and myself, thank you for listening.